From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency. Welcome to Update One. I'm Mike Hempen, a co-chair of the broadcast podcast team here at the National Press Club. The Israeli-Hamas war has been going on for 22 months. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is hinting at wider military action in Gaza, even as former Israeli army and intelligence chiefs are calling for an end to the war. Gaza's health ministry says the Palestinian death toll has surpassed 61,000. Health officials have reported new deaths of hungry Palestinians seeking food at distribution points. As desperation mounts, the Israeli defense body coordinating aid announced a deal with local merchants to improve aid deliveries. On this edition of Update One, we'll talk about the situation in Gaza with Middle East expert Karim El-Samik. Karim has worked with the Trump campaign, primarily in the Arab American community in both New York and Michigan. Karim, welcome to Update One.
Mike, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from Arab Americans about what has been going on in Gaza?
A lot of mixed emotions. I've been talking to some of the people on the ground in Michigan, a lot of the people in New York. I led a little bit of a movement in New York ahead of the election to rally up support from Arab American leadership in the city of New York for President Trump. And currently, as it stands, I mean, we're several months into the administration. Conditions are worsening in Gaza. There's severe famine in Gaza. And truthfully, people are very upset. They're upset with the lack of inaction, as they describe it. They're upset with even myself, as someone that led quite a movement to support President Trump. So that's been generally the response that I've been getting across the board from people, not just Muslim Americans, but Arab Americans as a whole. That includes Christian Arab Americans from the Lebanese and Syrian communities and people just all across.
Now, the war, of course, began in October 2023. That was more than a year before President Trump won the 2024 election. Do you think most Americans felt if Trump became president, he could put an end to this war?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the promises that President Trump made. He said, I will have the war ended very quickly. And these were some of the talking points that we were regurgitating to voters, to members of the Arab American community, and to people that just overall wanted to see peace. People said they want to see the bloodshed stop. And it doesn't appear that we're on that path. Now, is Trump to blame? I don't think so. I think this is far more complex than people give it credit. I think truly, if you want to point at somebody and say this is the person that is preventing this conflict from de-escalating and rather adding fuel to the fire, the person would be Benjamin Netanyahu.
Well, I was going to ask that. That was my next question. Do you think either side is interested in a truce?
I think it's very tough. When you say either side, are we talking about leadership or are we talking about people? And I think that's an important question, because if you look at it from the perspective of your average Palestinian civilian and your average Israeli civilian, absolutely they want to see an end to this. And they're screaming this. And you have family members of the hostages in Israel begging and using a blowhorn essentially to tell Benjamin Netanyahu, hey, we don't need further escalation, we need de-escalation, especially now as we're approaching a time where additional military involvement from the Israelis may be ramped up. You have family members of the hostages saying, hey, this needs to end, and we massively fear that our family members, the hostages, their lives are going to be at in further risk right now. From the Palestinian side, absolutely. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news and listen to what these civilians are saying. They're not happy with Hamas. They're not happy with Israel, and they feel that the world has abandoned them. Now, from the perspective of maybe leadership, I'm not too sure that either side is interested in a de-escalation, and that includes Netanyahu and his government.
Well, assuming this war continues on, and right now there's no end in sight, at least not in the near future, we're seeing these videos coming out of Gaza almost every day, the starvation factor that's taking effect there, and the risk people are taking when they seek aid, when they're in line for aid, and the number of deaths and injuries that have occurred. How can this situation be addressed in terms of the starvation and getting food to the people who need it?
You know, it's terrible. I think one of the ways we can find a more practical solution is to open up Gaza to the international community. We need media, international media, to gain access to Gaza and report the situation accurately. You've got Israel kind of sharing their side of the story. You've got footage of civilians sharing their side of the story in Gaza. But I think what needs to happen, as Tucker Carlson and many others have requested, Piers Morgan, is for Israel to allow international media in to accurately report the situation, and then for world leaders to come together and come up with a better solution for this. You've got countries that are airdropping aid into Gaza, and in a lot of these issues, parachutes are failing and massive multi-ton pallets are being dropped on civilians and killing them. In addition to that, you have instance after instance, report after report, of the IDF shooting at civilians. I don't know who they're shooting at, but they're ultimately injuring and in some case killing civilians, which is horrific. So I think maybe a better path would be to open up Gaza to the international media, allow the media to come in and safely report what's happening on the ground, and then for world leaders to offer a more practical solution.
Do you see personally this conflict ending anytime soon?
You know, I wish I could say yes, but I truly don't. I mean, things are just escalating by the day. And it doesn't seem like anyone's offering a realistic solution to this. I mean, at what point do bombardments stop? At what point do we reverse course on the famine? I mean, the famine is reaching irreversible points at this point. So do I see this ending anytime soon? I really don't.
And of course, today, the latest developments are being that Netanyahu hinting at wider military action in Gaza. Do you think he's been trying to extend this war throughout the 22 months?
I think so. And I think if you talk to Israeli civilians, if you talk to the family members of the hostages, they'll tell you that. I mean, you've got France on the verge. They say at the UN General Assembly, they will be recognizing the state of Palestine. You've got Spain opening up additional war crimes probes into Netanyahu and his government. I think the world is now seeing that Netanyahu is not interested in de-escalating the conflict, and instead he is looking to expand the conflict, perhaps to save himself from some of his own problems. He's got two major trials in Israel, one of them for corruption. And I think keeping this war going is what's going to save him, or what he thinks is going to save him.
And what about from the Hamas perspective? I know you addressed earlier the leadership point of view from both sides, but are Hamas officials prepared to go at this for much longer? It's already been 22 months. Do you see them staying engaged for the long haul?
I mean, they certainly seem to be fighting to the death, literally. Now, are Palestinians happy with Hamas's response? I don't think so. I think Palestinian civilians overall want to see Hamas out. They want a new democratic election process, and they want to live to see another day. That's really what this boils down to, is survival. And at the hands of Hamas and at the hands of Benjamin Netanyahu, I don't think either side is going to see a path to that.
What about looking long-term at it? I mean, as we've been talking, it doesn't appear like there is any near-term solution. How long do you see this going? It's coming up on 2 years. Do you see this going on for another 2 years or even beyond that?
Truly, I see this going on for as long as Benjamin Netanyahu's in power. Benjamin Netanyahu's not hinting at all at any genuine desire to end this conflict. I mean, he's talking about permanently, or I should say long-term, occupying Gaza now, which is not a way to de-escalate a conflict and encourage a democratic election in Gaza. You see Benjamin Netanyahu going against the advice of a lot of the GCC leadership and a lot of the Arab leaders, as well as against the advice of President Trump. President Trump has tried numerous times now since being reelected to de-escalate the conflict, to bring parties together, and Israel's response has been almost negative towards Trump and negative towards GCC leadership.
What about the international reaction? Obviously, a lot of leaders from other countries have been reacting to the situation, especially European countries. Do you see that reaction? Because it seems like a lot are not pleased with Israel's actions. Do you see that having any impact anytime soon?
Absolutely, and we already are seeing that. I mean, as I said earlier, France is moving to recognize Palestine as its own state. You've got the UK, a lot of pressure on the Prime Minister of the UK to do the same. You've got Spain moving in that direction, and we're seeing that as you're seeing it here in the United States locally with local government. And additionally, a very interesting statistic, about a month-old statistic now, the majority of Republicans under the age of 50 no longer support Israel. And I think as that tide continues to shift, you're going to see more and more local government, and you're going to see more and more European nations move to recognize Palestine as a state. Now, we don't want to see this, and I think it's very important for people to recognize that there is a big difference between the Jewish people, the Jewish religion, and Benjamin Netanyahu. And unfortunately, Netanyahu's creating a very dangerous environment for people of the Jewish faith, and Jewish people need to continue to speak up against this.
What about President Trump? I know you mentioned him earlier. Obviously, he campaigned on bringing an end to this conflict. He's also dealing, of course, with Russia in Ukraine. I know he's frustrated with how that's been going on. Do you see him continuing to try and be a major player in bringing an end to this?
I don't think he has much of a choice. I think he's in this whether he wants it or not. I don't think he anticipated it would be this difficult. I don't think he anticipated that Benjamin Netanyahu would be this difficult to work with. I think other people have been saying this from the beginning, that Netanyahu is impossible to deal with, is impossible to negotiate with, and he likes to overstep and he likes to push. And President Trump being President Trump, I don't think he really anticipated this. And truthfully, I didn't either. I thought if there was going to be a president that was going to put Netanyahu and Hamas in their place, it would be Trump. But it seems like the job is a little tougher than anticipated.
We obviously discussed earlier that this figures to go on for a while. What do you think ultimately is the long-term solution for peace in the Middle East and specifically Gaza?
You know, the GCC countries have come at the last UN General Assembly. They've announced, the Arab League came together and said, we will personally guarantee Israel safety and security. We want to consider Israel a partner. We want to trade with Israel. We want tourism with Israel. We want to all come together and consider the state of Israel as one of our own as a GCC country. But in order for that to happen, a viable two-state solution must be offered. And I tend to agree with this. That's the only thing that hasn't actually come to fruition, is a two-state solution, a viable two-state solution. And at this point, I think we're so far gone, we've gone to both extremes. We need to really reel it back here and work towards that solution. Bring the Arab leadership in, bring the GCC countries in. I mean, you saw the incredible reception that the United States received from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar, from the UAE. And I think we need to bring these incredible leaders in that are very much committed to peace to ultimately work out a two-state solution. I think that's the only path forward. If we want to see peace in Palestine, in Israel, a two-state solution must be brokered.
Kareem, good stuff. We do appreciate your time today. Thanks for being a guest on Update One.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Kareem El-Samik, a Middle East expert, has been the guest talking about the situation in Gaza. I'm Mike Hempen. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.